Welcome to Golf Connections here on the Golf Getaways Digital Network at playgolfgetaways.com. I'm Mitch Lawrence. Thrilled to have you with us again for a very, very special show. As those of you who listen to Golf Connections know, I am a Hickory player through and through for various reasons, which I will not presume to go into here, especially when my guest today has done more, in my opinion, to grow the Hickory game than anyone on the planet over the last 10 years. And truly understands the myriad reasons why Hickory golf may be a tonic for what ails the golfer. Mr. Lionel Friedman is, among other things, a former captain at Craigielaw Golf Club, the past secretary at the iconic Musselboro Old Course Golf Club. But I dare say the position he may hold closest to his heart is as the chairman of the World Hickory Open, its guiding force. And he joins me once again on Golf Connections, this time from the Ben Hogan Suite at the Carnoustie Golf Hotel in Scotland, overlooking the 18th green in the first tee, in the midst of the 10th annual World Hickory Open. You can find all about it at the great World Hickory Open website, worldhickoryopen.com. And I am absolutely honored to have you on today. Welcome back to Golf Connections, Lionel.
It's great to be with you, Mitch, and it's lovely to be talking to you from really from an American point of view. In a suite that's named after arguably perhaps certainly one of the best golfers in the world. And old Mr. Friedman was here in 1953 to see Ben Hogan win the Open here. So it's pretty special.
How cool is that, that you were there in 53 to watch that? And
well, not me. The old man.
Oh, the old man was.
Yeah. Now, 1953, I was in the middle of my national service in the Army.
Uh-huh. But how cool, the connections to that part of it. And obviously, Ben Hogan did so much to put Carnoustie on the map in that year of 1953. And for you to be there, these words, 10th annual World Hickory Open, the championship course at Carnoustie. How sweet do those words sound, given your introduction to the game only in 2004, really?
Yeah, they're very sweet. And perhaps a description of how sweet they are was when I went into the function room last night and saw 14 tables set for 137 people. And, I thought, well, why have I come this far? And there's all these people from 18 different countries, and it was a great feeling. In fact, it was almost an emotional feeling that it should have got to this sort of level, and has the feeling that it will continue on this level and maybe even go further. So it really is very special. It's also wonderful how the increase of interest I've had from your neck of the woods, from the United States, and for people to come, it's an awful long way to come, and it's really appreciated. And places like South Africa, we've even got a chap who's come all the way from Singapore this year. So
wow,
it's quite special.
I'll say, and I mentioned 2004. I loved reading on the website and just doing some research about that day in 2004, and you're at Musselboro, and you get your first glimpse of Hickory golf and men in plus fours walking around, and I was taken by how quickly you seemed to connect to that tradition in the history of the games. And there were only in the first edition of what was called the Musselboro Challenge, there were 36 players, if I'm not mistaken. And now you've got more than 100 more. It must be absolutely thrilling.
It is. And what is also thrilling is the quality of some of the players as well. I mean, it's for everybody. But, I mean, last year we had Sandy Lyle win it. I mean, what's that mean to have a former major champion and winner of two, the Masters and the British Open? I said at the prize giving that I thought he had won his third major. Which brought a little bit of a titter from the crowd.
Well, Hickory players looked at it that way, I'll tell you that. Yeah. I know I did. Yeah. I was going to ask you later, but I think it's a good point. What did that do? you mentioned now that there's players from 18 countries and so many coming from America, and it must have been a huge boost. I know it was when Sandy won last year, and that news was publicized all over the world.
There's no doubt about that. I mean, to get somebody like that to play, it's very special. And to discover that he's been playing Hickory Golf for 3 years. Well, it's now 4 years.
Right.
So there's a course designer, a young man called Scott McPherson, who wrote the definitive history for the R&A on the Royal Golf Courses and also the evolution of St. Andrews, and is a great friend. And it's Scott that introduced him to Hickory Golf. And they went and played 9 holes on the old course at Musselburgh. So it's now something in the region of 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And from that moment, he wanted to join the mob, as you might say.
And now he's got other people following him. You know, I went to Augusta last April, and I loved that Sandy played a practice round with his Hickories. I have a picture of him with the bag, and nothing made me happier personally. I know Darren, our producer here at PlayGolfGetaways.com, who's also a Hickory fanatic, nothing made us happier than to see Sandy with the Hickories at Augusta.
No, it's good stuff, I really say. And he's a very nice young man. So, well, he's not so young anymore, but he's a very nice man. Well, it depends what you say when young is. When you're coming nearly 82, you think people in their 50s are young.
I know, it's all relative. Let me just ask you, as we kind of get into the World Hickory Open and what this 10th anniversary edition is about, give us a quick rundown. I know it's not just about the Carnoustie Championship course, which obviously is the big draw, but there's many other aspects to the World Hickory Open that I find fascinating. Events before and after the 2 days of World Hickory Open competition.
It's 5 days of Hickory Golf. And it's yesterday we had a three-man team competition, of which we had 35 teams compete on what is, well, the two other courses at Carnoustie, the Budden and the Burnside. The Budden had a renovation not very long ago and is now considered more or less equal to Burnside. So you've got the great championship course, and then you've got Burnside, which is also a century or so old, and you've got Budden, which was built after this last war. And so we had a team competition, and we had really five incredible scores between the 35 teams. We had a tie for first place with 56. This is one score out of three. And the tie and two scores of 58. So the scoring was remarkable. And we had one of those wonderful Scottish days where the skies are bright, it's fairly chilly, and the wind was, well, it was a breeze, but not a wind, really.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody's able to enjoy it. And it acts really as a practice round for the first round, which was today. And how we've done the championship, you have a round on the Budden and you have a round on the championship course. And today the lower handicaps played the Budden and the higher handicaps played the championship course. And the higher handicaps are playing Stapleford.
Mm-hmm.
0 to 12 is playing the medal. And I wanted to have the best players on the championship course for the second round. So that's how it works out. And it's also being filmed tomorrow by Golf World, so which is exciting.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. And so we've had the scores for the first day are in the lower, the better players. We've had a 67. Shot by a boy called Andrew Marshall, who's a tour and challenge tour player and has been the runner-up the last 2 years. And that's very good. And then we've got a fantastic amateur score as well by Cliff Martin from the United States, who shot a 69 gross, and his history handicap is 4, so he's shot a 65 net. So that leads in the net. I think, yes, it leads in the net, and Andrew leads in the scratch professional side.
Isn't that great? And again, yeah. Listeners, remember that this is Hickory Golf we're talking about. Some amazing scores. And I know after, on Thursday and Friday, for golfers who would like maybe next year to get involved, it's not just these days, as I said. There's two great days of triangular matches between a team from the United States, a team from Sweden, and a team from the World Hickory Open. So that's got to be great. That's also at Carnoustie on the championship and the Burnside course.
Yes, there's a one round on each, and it's developed a little further. It's now USA stroke Canada versus Europe, which includes a lot of Swedish players, though, versus the World Hickory Select team, which is mainly UK. So it is really exciting that the Hickory players have got the opportunity of two full rounds on the championship course.
Isn't that great?
The other rounds on the other course. Yes, it is. It is special, I have to say.
Well, let's touch just for a minute on the things that are around it. As I said, this is not just a spirited, fantastic competition on these great courses, but around these other events that you have, what I was interested to see also, the medallions given out is another connection to history. The historic house of Alex Kirkwood and Son, now run by one of our Hickory Golf Games biggest enthusiasts and current owner, David Kirkwood, 10th anniversary commemorative medallions going to the players. Two fantastic speakers, the great Vivian Saunders, and one of the most inspirational humans I think we have anywhere, Mr. Mike Newman. This is quite an entire program, not just about golf, but about a lot of other things too.
Yes, they're a terrific addition to the event, and I try to have interesting speakers at the gala dinner on the eve of the tournament. It's a tradition that I will hope to continue. And the triangular match also has a dinner in the middle of it at a very nice fish restaurant in the town of Arbroath, which is just up the road, called the Old Boatyard. So everybody's in for a pretty good week.
Well, you've done a magnificent job setting it up. You know, our website is a travel and destination website centered on the game. And just hearing you talk about the different countries represented, the different teams, the kind of players, it's such an amazing tribute to what you've done. And I know it has to be, as I said, thrilling for you to see all these people together, men and women, who play Hickory Golf, getting to experience the kind of camaraderie and friendship that you're giving them a backdrop for all that, and it has to be an unbelievable feeling inside.
I think it's probably the best thing I get out of it.
Mm-hmm.
The satisfaction of knowing that I've put together something that, you know, I think really right from the beginning, one of the reasons it continued was that we haven't had a tournament where people haven't come off the course or finished the tournament without smiles on their faces. And even when we've had two or three bad days, which you have to expect this time of the year in Scotland, we've felt that there have been more smiles than pain. So it's good.
Well, that's
there's been another addition this year. It's totally coincidental that I'm involved in raising money for a statue to the first signature on the rules of golf, a chap called John Rattray, who also was the first captain of the Honourable Company, and we're raising money for his statue to be put on Leith Links. And I've managed to encourage a number of the players in the World Hickory, particularly from the States, to stay over, and they're going to get another hickory round in all places, you would believe, really, in the Honourable Company of Edinburgh Golfers at Muirfield.
Right, I read that.
Within a space of a week, you're in the situation where you can play two of the best courses in the world with Hickory, the two of courses that are still currently hosting the British Open. So it's quite special. Not something that I think will happen again for a while.
Well, I as I said, I don't think there's a better event run anywhere in the world. And all of what you said makes sense. Before we close, as I said earlier, I am a devout Hickory player. And one of the great things about your website, and I urge people to go to worldhickoryopen.com, not just for news and information, but your writing is so beautiful and so insightful, and your thoughts on the game and its history. And I wanted to just take a second before we leave to read a portion of one of my favorite posts. And it explains so well why the Hickory game and the great classic courses are so important in today's world. I'm going to read your words to you, Lionel. "I think that the modern game has lost its way. Technology rules. The older classic courses are humiliated by massive and powerful clubs that demand a habitat of at least 7,500 yards. The driving of Godzilla. High vaulting approaches complete with the obligatory backspin. Even a yardage count courtesy of GPS. In such a world, the Mungo Park 6,000-yard challenge is a joke, and yet it isn't. That challenge remains as fascinating as it was when first introduced. Play it with the clubs it spawned, the cleek, the mashie, the niblick. Play the contours of the land. Follow the mindset of Willie Park, Old Tom, and Jamie Anderson as they thought their way around the heathers and the winds. Bring intelligence, tactical skills, and thought hole by hole to your game. It's played not in the air, but on the ground, where touch and feel are the watchwords rather than the hammer. And as such, it's a game for all, which of course is where it all began." Can I put all that in a single word? I'm not quite sure, but I'll try. If pushed, I'd say that the word is fun. The Hickory game is fun. Go out there and enjoy it. Does that touch you when you hear it back to you, Lionel, the way it touched me when I read it?
Yeah, I think I wasn't really expecting to hear that read, and it's lovely. I've been interviewed about four times today, and I think I've started every interview with somebody said, "Well, what is it?" And I've said, "It's fun," before I've gone on to say other things.
Well, I know that I, and as I said, Darren and our photographer, Brian Orr, who also plays Hickory's, the three of us, and many thousands now agree with you. And I can't thank you enough for everything that you've done to spread the word about the Hickory game. And congratulations on this historic accomplishment. It's only 10 years old, but for your perseverance and shepherding of the most important parts of the game we all love. Congratulations on that. Here's to a fantastic rest of the week at the World Hickory Open. I can't thank you enough for joining us.
Well, thank you very much, Mitch, and also thank you for allowing me to talk to you, and perhaps it will also encourage even more Hickory golfers from what I might say the other side of the pond, or what we also might say the old colonies. It's great to be on and talking about it. And I tease all our visitors that we're not quite sure whether we made a good decision in 1776 or not, but we love to have them come here and play golf.
All right. Well, that's a discussion for a different show. All best, Lionel.
Okay, all the best to you. Cheerio.
Thank you. We'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.
There he goes, the great Lionel Friedman from the World Hickory Open at Carnoustie. You can find out about it at worldhickoryopen.com, and I urge you to go there and follow all of it. Thanks again for joining us here in Golf Connections on the Golf Getaways digital network at playgolfgetaways.com. As Lionel said, go out there and enjoy the game. I'm Mitch Lawrence. So long for now.